Hey guys, are you ready for some money rehab?
Wall Street has been completely upended by an unlikely player, GameStop.
And should I have a 401k?
You don't do it? No, I know. Girl!
You think the whole world revolves around you and your money? Well, it doesn't.
Charge for wasting our time. I will take a check.
Like a old school check.
You recognize her from anchoring on CNN, CNBC, and Bloomberg. The only financial expert you don't need a dictionary to understand, Nicole Lappin.
Today, one of our producers is instigating a money rehab intervention for a friend. So, Mike, producer Mike, why did you think your pal, Mike, let's call him intervention-y Mike, we're not sure if that's a word, but we're going with it, needed said intervention?
So my friend Mike McLaughlin, otherwise known as McGlock, we've joked on this show before about the Real Wall Street Bets, which is the group chat that exists amongst my friends.
Oh, hold on. It's Bets with a Z.
Bets with a Z, right.
Just
because it's
clear.
Fun.
Okay, yeah.
Right. So when I first started working on the show, that was my extent of like financial knowledge. It was me talking to my friends about what we knew about finance and the stock market and all that stuff. And as it turns out, after working with you for almost a year now, we were wrong about a lot of things.
Okay.
And Mike McGlock has been kind of the ringleader on that, because Mike is he's sort of the senior of our friend group, and he has had sort of the most life experience. And I would also argue he's taken the most chances with his money. We're very tight. I know a lot about Mike's life, and I think Mike is really just like a lot of our friends, is sort of a home run hitter with his finances, and he takes a lot of chances. And I think that a lot of our friends try to make 50 cents into $1 million. I just think overall, Mike is in a place right now where like finding a real level of stability and consistency is super important, as opposed to like, you know, hey, Nicole, help me make $1 million like right now. I think that like teaching people and starting with somebody like Mike, who obviously has a level of financial literacy.
I've done it before.
I know. And that's the thing. So it ebbs and flows. And have I said anything wrong?
No. Everything's probably been correct.
So, Mike, producer Mike, you want me to money rehab the Real Wall Street Bets with a Z?
Yeah, I think Mike is in a place where he finally, you know, he has some ideas of what he wants to do with sort of like the money that he has right now. And I think that, you know, I just want my friends to sort of think through some of their, and Mike does. I don't want to make it sound like Mike is like not smart or like that he's thoughtless or anything like that.
No, but it's cool. Keep going. Can I clarify this group chat? How
yeah.
it happened?
All yeah.
right. So this is what happened. Pandemic hit, right? I'd worked in finance before as an executive assistant, but whatever. I was there for like 3 years.
Counts.
So I had a little bit of like, you know, literacy with it. They gave us all this free money. The government, you know, and I didn't need it.
The stimulus check.
Uh-huh. Yep. And then I got my job. I got furloughed from my position in Manhattan. So I got a nice something from them and then something from the government. And then I decided like, well, the market sounds so low. Some of these tech growth companies got to move up. And I took long calls, like 6 to 12 months out, way outside the money, and almost all of them hit. In that first year, at the peak of it, my friends caught wind of it because I was telling them. So they started a group chat, and it had about
yes.
five of us on there. The moment that group chat started, dude, I knew it was over.
Yeah.
I was like, the moment everyone's like sending in this, sending in that, I was like, it's over.
Okay, but how much money are we talking about?
To us working class, not that much. You know, we're talking like around just under six figures, but in, you know, a few months. From going where we're from, it was like, it was pretty intense. But then I ended up losing at least half of it the next year. So
how?
Well, I took out a bunch and I paid off a bunch of debts. And then I bought a car. And then I traveled around the country. And then I just kept letting it ride with these guys. And then every single thing we did, we just kept losing and losing and losing and just losing and losing worse. And then I just took out the measly, you know, 10, 15 grand at the end. Like, all right, well, you know, we did it. I made well more than what I make in a year in stock options. And I took that out. And then I had to pay the government. That was nice. So, you know.
Okay. So you guys have created kind of a knockoff the Reddit group.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Very much so. Yeah.
Yeah.
And your name has to be Mike in order to join. And you have to be from Jersey.
And you have to, in the end, you have to lose money.
Got it. So you guys have a group chat. You throw out wild sort of get rich quick trading tips to each other.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And some of you partake and some of you don't. And these tips or these ideas don't need to be verified. You could have heard them like
verified from who?
Verified, Mike, like through actual fundamentals of companies.
No, there
I don't
you go.
Know.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't do that, Nicole.
I hit on Macy's, I'll tell you that.
So there's an addiction, it sounds like, to getting rich quick. To somehow you're gonna find lightning in a stock call option bottle, and you are going to have all of your dreams come true in one fell swoop. That's the goal.
I guess that sounds kind of ridiculous when you say it like that, but because the goal really isn't like, I know like that you're not going to be any happier, even if that were to happen, but it will, I don't know, alleviate the misery that, like, you know, having no money has. So I don't really, yeah, I guess that it kind of sounds ridiculous. when you say it like that I'm just trying to shoot a bet to make a ton of money. Yeah, it's not well thought out, I don't think.
Well, there's an old adage in Wall Street dad jokes that goes something like the easiest, fastest way to double your money is to fold it in half.
Okay.
And barring that, you have a lot of too good to be true, get rich quick books and tips and perhaps even group threads that go on, hope and promising something that, you know, requires some sort of luck or the insider knowledge that's gonna, you know, turn 50 cents into $1 million. First time I've ever heard that. It's just not possible. It's just, and even if it is possible, like you heard an anecdote for somebody who somehow did turn 50 cents into $1 million, or even if you turned your stimulus check into some money that you then lost and paid taxes on, and you want that to happen again, it's really, really unlikely. And I know you guys aren't big fans of like actual fundamentals and charts and things, but if you do look at the probabilities, it's just not on your side. That's the reality. It's like, you know, going to Vegas. And I hate the gambling analogies with Wall Street, because I think there's actually a way to be a long-term investor that has no analogy or no similarity to Vegas and crazy gambling, because it is well thought out. There's a difference, though, between trading and investing. So what you guys seem to be into is trading, day trading even.
Yes.
Yeah.
To piggyback what you just said about the gambling analogy. I mean, this group text long ago stopped with the finance stuff. And now we just make fun of each other. But in the last 3 weeks, it's become sports betting because it's all gotten legal in New York and everyone's right. Like putting up their bets and stuff like that. So the gambling, that's exactly the emotion we are doing. We are just trying to have fun and gamble, but with money that we probably should be looking to build wealth with.
Hold on to your wallets, boys and girls. Money Rehab will be right back. Now for some more Money Rehab. Okay, so I am not the fun police at all. I really am not. And if you do want to have fun and have, you know, a group thread that all is all about gambling and all about risky stuff, whatever, cool. But make sure that that is with fun money and that's not with your rent money, right? Because growing long-term wealth is actually not super fun and sexy. And like, if you want fun and sexy, go on Tinder. Otherwise, your wealth and growing it, I think really it's boring. And I kind of like it boring because it means that my money is still there and it means that I can sleep. Now, if you want to take 1% of your net worth, if you get to a place where, well, first of all, do you have an emergency fund?
No.
Do you know what an emergency fund is?
Not really, no.
So like 3 to 6 months, 6 to 9 months of savings in the bank. So like if you lost, you have a job now?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do have that. I do have that though, but like it would be probably 5 months would be as much as I could make it. Yeah.
Okay. And then after that, are there tax advantage accounts that you have?
I have a 401k that I could take stuff out of. So we have
No. We're not taking stuff out of it. I'm just like trying to get an overall picture of what's happening.
I would say.
So your assets beyond that are what?
I'd say I need to be here. Sorry.
Cool. You're in the right place. First step to any recovery is admitting you have a problem. We're only as sick as our secrets, Mikes. So you have a 401k. You have 5-ish months of savings in the bank or in the market?
In the market, but off, like not in play, just in cash. And then some
like in your Schwab account or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Chilling.
And then some in checking and savings.
I see. And then beyond that, there's no IRA. There's no like.
No. I own a car.
Portfolio of mutual funds and index funds.
No.
Are you guys allergic to index funds?
I mean, I used to have like Vanguard and that was nice and it would grow like some sort of like, you know, there's like a mutual fund that would grow all the time. And I sold that during this to play with it.
Of course.
Options trading.
That became Macy's options.
So when you were looking at your Vanguard slow and steady, but growing mutual funds that included S&P 500 index funds that track the market, you were like,
boring.
Okay, I see. But it was still growing at a, you know, inflation adjusted 7%.
Probably even more than that, yeah.
Okay, so you lost the $5,000 and then you put more, you know, what? $5,000 in?
No, I never added in after that. Everything had gone off that initial investment from into the Robinhood account that I had from the
including
the stimulus,
your stimulus
checks and my little severance package and all that went in there. And then during the next year is when I sold out. I had Fidelity, so I sold that and then moved it to Robinhood and lost some there. Yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to move more to like more stable growing. And I'll have my fun stuff on the side. If I want to sports gamble or if I want to run options, here's a few, you know, here's $500 a month. I get to have fun.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So you know what to do. You just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I see. And why do you think you don't want to do it?
Honestly, I think what I'm suffering from this 2021 is because I lost so much. And I'm like, damn, I want to catch
back. And you want to get back.
I feel like it's the end of the night and I'm playing blackjack and I'm down $3,000. I'm like, I want to get this. So like the whole second half of the year, I was like, I'll buy this option. I'll buy trying to get back those losses. So, and now I've sort of realized that it's kind of just, I got lucky, to be honest. I just got lucky and I have to realize that I really don't have like an exceptional talent for choosing different options. I kind of just got lucky. And I need to like curb it and go with more like sound stuff and have my fun like on the side.
So hold on. When you are trying to get the money back and the losses back, you mean paper losses?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I see. So this is, you're mourning your paper losses.
Yeah.
You didn't even realize these losses.
No.
You just saw your options or whatever go up on the screen, and that's what you're trying to get back. You're not trying to get back like the gold bars that you actually saw in your own personal vault that are now missing.
Yeah, there was no like labor that got, I didn't like work for this money and then lose it, you know.
And you didn't even materialize it. And
well, I did still take out, I think I ended up net profit like 38,000, something like that.
Right. So
like in the end. Yeah.
So that's actually the only days that matter when you're investing or trading in this case, the day you bought and the day you sold. And all the other shit is noise. And it can clearly cause an emotional toll on you if you're looking and refreshing nonstop. But that's not real. There's no real Wall Street bets in the non-reality of paper losses. There's nothing real about that. So
other than the agony.
I was trying to do a pun and I was like, I'm not Morgan right now. So there's something there. We'll figure it out. We'll fix it in post. But there's nothing real that you're actually mourning. You actually made money, Mike.
Yeah.
Intervention-y Mike.
Thank you.
So can we let it go?
Yeah.
Like, you're not a guy who walked onto the blackjack tables and put down $100 and lost that $100. You're a guy who went to the tables and put down $100 and left with $150, even though at one point in the night you're up to $1,000 and you're upset.
Exactly. So I think I can let it go. And the thing is now it's a year later since the high point. I have a nice job. I'm happier now. Even though a year ago I was up.
Mazel tov.
60-70K, you know? So I'm sort of realizing that like I don't need to keep chasing it. But I do, but I bought options this morning because I'm afraid. All right, Mike. I bought some options this morning. Just nothing. Just a couple $100. Fun money, right? And because I don't want to miss. Because I have FOMO if I miss on the ones that I've been thinking are going to return. And you know what I mean? You don't want to miss out on the party in a way. Like, I don't want all that stock I was going to buy at $6. And then in 2 months, it's $17. And I'm like, oh, I could have got in there. So, you know, maybe I just got to like let it all go.
Full stop. Yes. Yes. Yes, you do. Because what is your normal job?
Right now. I had a job in the city, but I lost that during the pandemic. So now I'm actually like managing a restaurant right now and okay. bartending.
So when you're watching these stocks, you're not doing this full time, right?
No.
You're not like a, you know, quant, high frequency trader in his basement, whatever, watching like little baby blips and try to find some arbitrage there. No.
Exactly. I watch their YouTube clips. That's like, so
I see.
I watch those guys' YouTube clips and then I go off of that kind of thing.
Gotcha. It is so freaking hard, guys, to beat the market. It's hard.com. It really is.
We know. We lose a lot.
Actually getting more returns than what you're going to see in the market. And when people talk about the market, you know this, Mike, intervention-y yeah. Mike, from being the executive assistant on Wall Street, that the market is basically, you know, the S&P 500. So just, you know, we can have that grow. We love some compound interest. So just, you know, the money that you're saving now, the $1,400, $1,500, that is my suggestion for where you do it. And my suggestion is also to participate in the real Wall Street bets. Like, I don't want to be Debbie Downer. I don't want, like, my photo to go up on the real Wall Street bets thread with like an arrow in my head or like an X across my face. Like, this is not my goal. But can you take like a nominal amount, like $100 a week even, and put it in your Robinhood account and play with it?
Yes. Yeah.
Mess around. But I think you need to change your mindset from a place of this is where I'm going to grow wealth to a place of like, this is where I have fun. And if it does well, cool. Like, but also if it doesn't, I can afford to lose this money.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I want to do. But what I tend to do, and I'm not doing it now, but I like, oh man, I could be like, I hit on that. What if I had, instead of putting 100, I put 2000, then I think I just got to fight that mental, that idea. Like if it does hit, oh, I could have made so much more. And like this weird feeling of like not being a part, not making as much as I possibly could. It's a greed, I guess.
I'm definitely not saying this in a patronizing way. I am a huge, huge fan. Obviously, all my books are 12-step plans. Do you feel like there is something more here, like an addiction to gamble? There is a Gambler's Anonymous, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm like, I don't know. I did play poker for years, like throughout the world, like in Europe and Australia.
I
made a living at that for a while.
I did forget about that.
That was when I was in my early mid-20s. I mean, yeah, gambling and not having a total respect for money is definitely a part of me. But I've never thought I've ever had an issue with it, like that it ever affected my life ever negatively. It just holds me back maybe from actually gaining more like real wealth, you know, because every time I have a bunch, I kind of think, oh, let's go to Vegas. Let's go here. Let's go have fun. So yeah, maybe there could be something aligned there, but I always know like 10, 15 other people that are just a mess with it. And I always know when to like cut it off. You know, I've never been, you know.
Yeah, I think that's
life in shambles or anything.
Well, that's like sometimes the misconception that you have to get your life to a place of homelessness to have a problem. And I think that oftentimes there is an excuse that you can afford it, so it's not a problem. I mean, that is not true. And I think that there's actually, it sounds to me like there is a fixation around this FOMO that, you know, like could actually benefit from getting to the source and like working through some of that and sort of letting it go so that you can focus on some of those other things. Like truly there, my suggestion, and again, this is not, this is intended from the kindest place, is to check out one of my favorite apps. And I've talked about this before, is called In the Rooms, which is just something you can download and you can look at like different meetings. I like going to meetings when I feel like I'm having a shitty time and it's just a bunch of people talking about stuff like this. So you don't, you know, investigate it if you'd like. Take it.
The interest in the risk taking, the excitement of it is there. So you have a point about the thing looking at meetings. I think actually that wouldn't be a bad thing. I don't actually think I have an issue because many times I've just not gambled or done any of this for years, like 3-4 years go by, I don't even go. It's just, but when I get into it, I kind of get into it. And that's the truth. Yeah, it is.
For today's tip, you can take straight to the bank. A friend that you talk to about money isn't automatically an accountability buddy. Like Intervention Mike says, even though he's found a group of friends he's comfortable talking to money about, which is a good thing, those friends also give him validation when he makes risky investment decisions, which is not so good. You need to make sure that you have an actual accountability buddy like Producer Mike. Someone who will raise their hand when they feel like you're doing something that's going to hurt your financial life in the long run and get your ass on money rehab when you need it. Money Rehab is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Nicole Lappin. Our producers are Morgan Lavoie and Mike Coscarelli. Executive producers are Nikki Etor and Will Pearson. Our mascots are Penny and Mimsy. Huge thanks to OG Money Rehab team Michelle Lanz for her development work, Catherine Law for her production and writing magic, and Brandon Dicker for his editing, engineering, and sound design. And as always, thanks to you for finally investing in yourself so that you can get it together and get it all. You spend the money.